Fatima, the day on which Our Lady first appeared to the three children in Portugal, Pope Francis met with Vladimir Zelensky and talked about possibilities in Ukraine and Russia. Guess what's important about this, folks? This is the fourth time, by my count, that Francis has mentioned or insinuated he would go to Moscow and he would be willing to engage in peace talks with both Zelensky and, of course, Putin there in Moscow specifically. Put that city's name, we all know that it is the center of the Muscovite Russian, not only Orthodox Church, but the Muscovite-led Russian polity. He will go there willingly in order to engage in peace talks. Now, Zelensky ended up shooting down the ideas of these peace talks, but what's important has very little to do, in my mind, with Russia slash Ukraine, qua Russia in Ukraine. It has to do with the fact that this meeting did take place on Fatima Day, 106 years after the first apparition of the Virgin Mary to the three little seers of Fatima. And it involved one of the conditions for the possibility of the coming to pass of the events of Garabandal. That's what today's show is going to be about. We're going to talk about the connection between May the 13th and Garabandal as it involves Francis and Zelensky, who are supposed to be engaged in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. Like this video and please share it. We're trying to hit 50,000 subscribers as soon as we can. If you want to support the channel, do so on Locals. Also, do so on Subscribestar. Important to this channel, something for you to support that will excite you, is an upcoming free class that is free. It'll either be in 5 or 6 courses, week by week, on, you guessed it, I promised it earlier in the year, the Catechism of Trent. The Catechism of Trent, we're going to go through all the big, most important sections of the Roman Catechism, and that will be absolutely free to you, is one of the many services brought to you by the Rules for Retrogrades channel. And if you want, you can make a private donation to me, but that's absolutely just for me and my family. We like to bring you free content as often as we can. Also important, before we get started on important analysis of Zelensky's meeting with Pope Francis and his rejection of the papal plans for peace in Ukraine, is to understand that on May the 24th, which is by my reckoning coming up here, there's the Hope is Fuel conference, which was attempted to be canceled, and it's not working. The subscriptions for the Hope is Fuel conference, which is an ongoing thing with 30 plus speakers. You can listen to these deep, deep talks. I give one, Steph gives another, throughout the course of your year and really absorb it. If you take a week to really think about a given talk, you can have content for the better part of a year just by registering at Hope is Fuel, led by Mr. Patrick Coffin and his friend Ryan Moreau. They've been on this show. That takes place May the 24th, so let's get it happening. Tons of amazing speakers there. Don't let good Catholics be shut down. What's relevant to my analysis today is two dovetailing triples, trifectas. That is to say, 6 total chronological events which must come to pass if Garabandal is true. And let me say this much, as I covered it in my show with Father Alex Crow, I'm not sure if Garabandal is a legitimate Marian apparition or not. Events of 2020, 2021, 2022 make it seem like it might have legs. And therefore, cautious yet always forward-looking folks like myself are willing to seriously consider it. I think it's quite a compelling Marian apparition to consider, particularly given the strangely apposite facts that insinuate maybe it is true. Since 2017, by the way. 2017 is the red letter year. Whereupon Francis, Pope Francis, began to state over and over and over again, at least four times, I want to go to Moscow. I'd like to go to Moscow. I think I should go to Moscow. There are about two forthcoming invitations that would enable Francis's traveling to Moscow. They're from Putin himself or from the head of the Patriarchate there, Kirill. And you can't just buy a pleasure cruise over to Moscow, Russia. They're not like us, not a fully open society. Those two invitations have not been forthcoming over the last 6 years. But bear in the front of your mind the fact that Francis has been saying this well before, 5 years before the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. So there's some affinity that Francis, Pope Francis, has for going to Moscow. Now, the reason this is so important, on the conditional that perhaps Garabandal is true, I'm going to go through these six necessary chronological elements in order for it to be true, is because it comprises fully one of the six. Now, two dovetailing triples. First off, there will be, if Garabandal is true, this is number one, an important church synod ongoing. That's the first item. We know that the conditions for the possibility of this are more than emplaced, because we have a rare instance of a specially ongoing synod, the synod on synodality, on synodalism, wherein it's been a multi-year process. It was a 3.5-year process. Francis, late last year, moved it to a 4.5-year process. The most important and the most telling meeting at that synod, like all synods under Francis, will convene in October of this year. That seems to be the phase of this thing, which has three phases, where we will get the most individual information, the most specific granular information as to what Francis's plans are. I think it's relatively clear that he wants to finish the agenda items of the Sankt Gallen Mafia. There have been plenty of clues. I've done lots of shows on that. Go back and find the shows on the October Synod, which I've done in the last 3 months. I've done three by my count. An ongoing synod is the first condition for the possibility of Garabandal being true. It's first chronologically. We must secure this if Garabandal is to be considered legit and actual. And there's a few other chronological components that bear mention besides the primary six, the first triple and the latter triple. So we've just discussed the synod on synodality. It's a major, major inflection point for the church. Francis has said so. His two lieutenants, a bishop and an archbishop and a cardinal, Gresh and Hollerich, have each said so. This is going to be a major inflection point for the church. Pope Francis has said that the church's sexual teaching is still in diapers, which is a creepy combination of metaphors. And even though Francis says things like Skittles people should not be allowed into the seminaries, which he just said over the past weekend, and he says things like the declining birth rates in Europe are extremely bad and people should be more into having kids than having lots of, cats, like all these weirdo cat ladies out there that would rather have kittens than kids. He makes these kinds of comments and everyone starts cheering, but then I say, look at what he says about Catholic sexual teaching. It's still in diapers. Look at his two lieutenants for the Synod on Synodality, Gresh and Hollerich. They each have all but affirmed the Skittles lifestyle. So he gives with one hand, takes away with the other. This is key to understanding the programmatic agenda of Pope Francis. It's what he did in the 2014 Synod, the extraordinary one on the family, the 2015 Synod. He was giving and taking away lots between there. It's what he did at the Family Synod in 2019. He gave and he took away. He said there would be viri probati, and then he took that away, but he left it alive in the Relatio in the final pages, which reinvigorated the Relatio. And now here there's all kinds of skittles, insinuations in the documents and the first two phases of this ongoing synod. Anyway, it's really, really strange that at Garabandal, an ongoing synod is mentioned, because this thing has been published since Vatican II was ongoing. 62 to 65 is basically, I think 63 to 65 are the events specific to Garabandal. And people have known about them before all the Catholic world was familiar with a synod, chronological element number one. This has been a public pronouncement. If Conchita, the head seer of Garabandal, said, look, if this does not happen during my life, she's 74 now and lives in New Jersey, then consider it false. If these six things don't happen, people don't break them down as six, but they're two triples, and that's what they are. She's 74 now, and she's told us, if these things don't happen, then blow me off. Don't take me seriously. She expects them to happen, and they look like they are happening. I don't know if Garabandal is legit, but it looks to have sea legs. The second item in the first triple, chronologically speaking, that must happen is a return of communism. I think that the May 13th meeting date between Pope Francis and Vladimir Zelensky, which always signals Fatima, 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 prayer and penance, prayer and penance, prayer and penance, Fatima, 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 Fatima. That date should always ring those bells in your Catholic mind. I think the date of the meeting tells us that there's a, or could tell us, quite plausibly, there's a connection between the message at Fatima, the second secret specifically, which was never much of a secret the way the third was. Russia would spread her errors, which was always understood to mean there is a component of communism. Economic communism, yes, but social communism. Think of the feminism that has all but afflicted conservatism and Christendom. It's one out. I don't care about B or L or T or G or Skittles rainbows. I don't want to taste that flavor. But the horrible rainbow that everyone's tasted is the Skittles rainbow, the proto-Skittles rainbow of feminism, which is always insinuated by communism. Communism and feminism are one, as another Vladimir, Lenin, used to always insinuate. Communism and feminism are one, as even the year 1848, the advent of first wave feminism, insinuates. It's the red letter date of the publication of Marx's book. There are all these connections between feminism and communism socially. It's come back in Europe in many ways, shapes and forms, even economically, but socially. I want you to think, when you see communism, you know, you're probably sick of hearing it from me. I want you to think feminism. It has afflicted root and branch all but the very furthest right institutions that have been captured by the left. So Fox News, completely feminist. Large swaths of even the conservative vlogosphere and blogosphere, completely feminist. It is ground zero in rooting out leftism. In my book, The Case for Patriarchy, and in Steph's book, Ask Your Husband, we explain this is because it's got a close conceptual nexus to the original sin. So communism has come into the world, and not just, it's making a reappearance economically. And by the way, with distributists, integralists, post-liberals, who are supposedly right-wingers, they are favoring strong economic planning that looks like communal planning. I'm not saying it's communist simplicitaire, but it's you know, strong central planning models, which have become very fashionable over the last 5 years. Go ask Gladden Papin, Patrick Deneen, Adrian Vermeule, Sohrab Amari. They're favoring economic models that are not far from communism in various you know, works in ways. But if you're skeptical there, if that's too inchoate for you to see, then you can at least rest assured that the fixtures of communism inhere strongly in the fixtures in Western civilization that have now come to be run by feminism. The beating heart of B or T or L or G or Q or any of that. So communism is back, particularly socially, culturally. 99% of everyone you know, even tradcaths, were raised with feminism. The way that the church defines it. The important thing is that we are operating on the assumption that all of the definitions involved here are church definitions. Okay, so there is an ongoing synod. That's impressive stuff, because most synods are kind of a one-time deal, or like the Family Synod of 2014-15, a two-time synod. This is, by definition, an ongoing diocesan, hemispheric, global process, according to Francis. This is the first one. That's impressive. Communism is back, even in ways distributism, integralism, not so much monarchism, though it runs alongside these, post-liberalism, economic forms of right-wing central economic planning. And always the tour de force, feminism, when we're talking about culturally. So those two prongs of the first triple for Garabandal to be true are absolutely present, slam dunk, check one, check two. The third is that the Pope will visit Moscow. That's element number three. Remember, these have to be done in chronological order. Our Pope, since the year 2017, when he began the refrain, "I want to go to Moscow." How do you know he wants to go to Moscow? Some people were asking me. And I was saying, my first clue was when he started repeating the refrain, "I'd like to go to Moscow." That's how I know. I'm taking him at his word. Well, the Russia and Ukraine conflict, which broke out when? In February of 2022, provided something that bears watching, provided a possible condition, which could grow into a rationale for the Pope to go to Moscow. Now, I confess, I've only been looking at Garabandal really with seriousness over the last 6 weeks. But I was paying attention to the Pope going to Moscow because of Fatima. And if the claim is sustainable that A, Garabandal is legit, and B, it's a conceptual and chronological nexus between Fatima of 1917 and the Akita apparition of 1973, the geometric mean, because Garabandal is about 10 years away from 1973, about, you know, 40 or 50 away from Fatima. Well, given the thematic overlap, it's quite a plausible proposition. Specifically, the proposition that all three of them, in one way or another, especially by footnote back to Fatima, involve watching a pope go to Russia. Especially because the second secret of Fatima, as I mentioned before, involves Russia undoing her errors, which have been spread around the world. Russia is not economically or strongly culturally known for its communism over the last 30 years. Putin stands for something that might be a psyop, restored Orthodox Christianity there, but sometimes it seems less like a psyop. I'm not an expert on the matter. You know me, I don't claim to be an expert where I'm not. Seems like it could be a psyop, the proposition that Russia's been restored to its Christianity, but other times it's quite convincing, especially when you hear Putin et al. Making reference to Skittles, tasting the rainbow. So the reason I bring this up is because I've recently, over the last 6 weeks, begun paying very close attention to Garabandal. And it is the most specific of the three prophecies mentioned about a papal visit, not just to Russia, but to Moscow. And the Pope has now said at least four times, if not five or six, I want to go to Moscow. Okay, that's the end of the first triple. Do you see how plausible this is? I'm not saying I know Garabandal is a legit prophecy or Marian apparition or set of messages. We're going to talk about the second triple in 1 minute. But first, I want to go to this LifeSite article, which provides the facts which render plausible that both the first and the second triple are going to unfold in a way which would enable us to say, this seems to be Fatima Garabandal and Akita coming to fruition. So the LifeSite article came up just today. It's called Zelensky Meets Pope Francis, but rejects papal plans for peace in Ukraine. First, could we just have a little vid of Francis and Zelensky meeting up?
Sure.
Here they are. Walking, talking, signing. Can you guys see that?
Definitely.
What they're saying isn't particularly important. I just wanted to give you a little visual there of Francis and Zelensky chilling. Okay, so LifeSite says the peace talks which Pope Francis had previously mentioned appear to be even less likely to materialize after another rejection by Ukraine. Weeks after Pope Francis hinted at peace talks between Russia and Ukraine, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and the Pontiff Saturday, and proceeded to publicly reject the discussed possibilities of peace between the two nations. Now, I start out by saying I confess staggeringly little interest in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, except in one way. The way that affects the church and the world. Now, a lot of people will say, duh, that's the way we care too. Well, good. I just want to put that out there. That's all I'm saying. The way that the Russia-Ukraine conflict affects the rest of the church and the world is what I'm looking out for here. Otherwise, you can find this on a million other channels that want to talk about Russia-Ukraine, qua Russia-Ukraine. On May the 13th, sorry if that catches my eye, I don't think I'm making over broad connections or being hasty to draw lines that should really be dots. Pope Francis received Zelensky in private audience, not in Moscow. It's still just a possibility that he would go there, a potential proposition. They met for about 40 minutes in a visit which had been rumored in the preceding days, but only confirmed at the last minute. It was the first time they had met since the start of the current conflict between Russia and Ukraine in Feb 2022, like I said earlier. The Ukrainian president was also in Rome to meet Italian prime minister, who's a populist, who says some good stuff, Giorgia Meloni, as part of the current series of visits to European nations, meeting politicians and heads of state. Welcoming Zelensky to the Vatican, who is adorned in his customary outfit instead of a formal suit. That just means he looks like he's been eating Cheetos on his couch. I guess he's sort of dressed like I am. But you know, the guy looks like he's been watching soccer, and he's a stocky little guy. I think he needs to at least start working out. We could all agree. Hey, you're meeting the pontiff. You know, the Bishop of Rome. I know you don't know what that means. You can't grasp the full import, but you throw on a shirt and a tie. If I'm telling you that, then you're in trouble, or at least your sense of decorum is really impoverished. You're a head of state. Pope Francis spoke chiefly about the war between Russia and Ukraine. The Holy See press office stated that Francis highlighted that humanitarian and political situation in Ukraine caused by the ongoing war. Both Francis and Zelensky, I'm reading from today's Life site, agreed on the need for continued humanitarian efforts to support the population, while Francis stressed the urgent need for gestures of humanity toward the most fragile people, the innocent victims of the conflict. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Gallagher, additionally spoke with Zelensky about the need to continue efforts to achieve peace, as well as the life of the Catholic Church in Ukraine. Okay, that's good. That's a good reason for the church to actually meet with a foreign head of state. The Ukrainian president gifted Pope Francis a plate of body armor painted with the image of Mary, while Francis gave Zelensky a bronze cast of an olive branch. Now, the background to the meeting is this. Zelensky's visit comes 2 weeks after Francis received the Ukrainian Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal at the Apostolic Palace. The two also talked about the conflict, highlighting the plight of displaced children. Then, on his return flight from Hungary on April the 30th, Francis suddenly stated that the Vatican was involved in organizing peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. So he wants to be the tip of the spear for peace. Pope Francis stated, I am willing to do whatever needs to be done. Also, there's a mission going on now, but it is not public yet. Let's see how, when it's public, I will talk about it. Now, this is curious, and it could just be statecraft and warcraft. You know, during times of war, no one wants to admit that they're actually willing to go to talks of peace because it looks weak. As noted by LifeSite, various officials, both from Russia and Ukraine, swiftly and firmly denied any existence or even acknowledgement of such peace talks. It's a little, you said acknowledge, it's acknowledgements, LifeSite. You still do good work. Andriy Yurash, the Ukrainian ambassador to the Holy See, additionally stated May the 3rd that Ukraine doesn't know about it. Yurash added that he had a private meeting scheduled with Francis for May the 4th and that I will for sure ask him what it is. Francis's close aide, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, then supported the Pope's words, adding he was surprised by the Russian and Ukrainian denial, stating that, quote, to my knowledge, they were and are aware. The joint denial surprises me, and I don't know what motivation or reasoning it responds to, said Parolin. Shortly after his meeting with the Pope on May the 13th, Zelensky added further doubt to any such peace process, revealing details of the private meeting. The former actor-turned-president wrote online that he was grateful to Francis for his personal attention to the tragedy of millions of Ukrainians and that they spoke about tens of thousands of deported children. Zelensky added how he had asked the Pope to support the president's own view of peace, which involved having, quote, no equality between Ukraine and Russia in the process. This is what he said. In addition, I asked to condemn crimes in Ukraine, which is fair, because there can be no equality between the victim and the aggressor. This is his narrative of the events. I also talked about our peace formula as the only effective algorithm for achieving a just peace. I proposed joining its implementation. While Zelensky honored the Pope by saying that it was in turn a great honor, he was less supportive in later comments to the media. Following the papal audience, Zelensky then conducted interviews as reported by Italian news outlets, during which he denigrated Pope Francis's efforts for peace. With all due respect to His Holiness, we do not need mediators. We must express actions for a just peace. The war is in Ukraine, and the peace plan must be Ukrainian, added Zelensky, who became president in 20... This is why I love LifeSite. Who became president in April 2019, after starring in a four-year-long comedy show, which strangely portrayed him as the country's president and which ended shortly before he won the election. I added the word strangely. LifeSite doesn't have that in there. Funny, huh? I invited the Pope as one of the leaders to work on the formula of peace, he said, adding, but we cannot invite Russia, that would block everything. With Zelensky thus publicly disavowing the Pope's reported peace process until the Holy See conforms to the Ukrainian desires, the role of the Vatican in effecting peace appears to be further hampered. Now, LifeSite quotes George Pell's last document, published less than 48 hours before he died, and he refers to Francis's waning ability to do statecraft, because he is the head of a state, because he's essentially destroyed the Vatican's standing as a head of state in the world. No one respects it, kind of like what Obama did as president of the United States. And so that's what was relevant to what we need here. It's that the peace talks will be the staging ground by which Francis does or does not come to Moscow. That's a big deal. I mean, the fact that there are peace talks between Russia and Ukraine, fine, set that on the shelf. I'm just saying this is what to keep your eyes and ears open for. The Vatican seems to be eschewing Garibandal, but they want to realize, actualize the conditional prong of Garibandal, even as they might be skeptical as to its legitimacy, even though it's that middle, as a Marian apparition, it's that middle category of verifiability. It's neither confirmed nor denied. But I don't think Francis is thinking Garibandal. I think he just has been told that the Vatican should have this global reach, which it does not have. It has less of a global reach than ever. Francis seems to be semi-amenable, not all the way, to the idea of globalism. He wants to be involved. He thinks it's an important conflict. I'm not necessarily critiquing these positions, but I'm not affirming them. And that will be the staging ground by which Francis, if he does, comes to Moscow. Okay, that concludes the first triple, the Synod, the return of communism, and the papal visit to Moscow, that enables us to pass on to the second triplicate. The second triplet is what we know best about Garibandal. It's what I covered with Father Alex Crow on my show. It involves first a warning, 8 days later a miracle in the pines, after that a conditional chastisement. So the Synod, return of communism, and Muscovite visit by the Pope are the conditions for the possibility of moving on to these other three things. This is all interesting because it gives us a way by which we can, if you're kind of interested by Garibandal the way that I am and that many, many others in the church with eyes to see are, it gives you something more than, I guess, nothing to wait and watch. Wait by and watch. It gives you, well, has the Pope gone to Moscow yet? What's expected is that after the Pope comes back from Moscow, the European relations will decline in a way approximating World War III. But those who know the most about Garibandal insist it won't actually be World War III. Heaven wants to grant us clemency from World War III. So we're hoping this doesn't come to pass. But that third thing will have to happen. Pope goes to Russia, to Moscow specifically. All of Europe seems to pick a side. It looks like under this arrangement of facts, it would be the Russia-Ukraine thing. And then 74-year-old turning 75-year-old Conchita would, on some Wednesday, it will be a Wednesday, that's all we know, give us a warning that in 8 days, the miracle will happen. The miracle is the enlightenment of all consciences, of all people, which will stop time, at which point we will each be shown all of our sins of omission and sins of commission and will be given the gift of infused knowledge, even if it's fleeting, as to what the meaning of the mystery of iniquity is. Something like that. All right, I'm getting a little poetic here, but this is what is described by the seers of Garibandal, if it's true, and by those who have studied the seers of Garibandal the most. So we'll have to see the Muscovite visit by the Pope. Then, after he comes back, let's just call it Russia-Ukraine. We'll divide all of Europe. They'll all pick a side. Things will be going south fast. At that point, the conditions for the possibility of the warning on some Wednesday morning, probably in April, according to Father Crow, will be promulgated by Conchita, who lives here in America. 8 days later, the miracle. And the sixth element of Garibandal would be that mass chastisement, which can be or may not be conditionally avoided or triggered. So you have to understand what is involved here. There's going to be a warning, where, which is very cool, that it has this much availability, that the apparition, according to its own strictures, has this much publicity, this much notoriety, this much falsifiability. If this stuff doesn't happen, then blow me off. It's fake. Conchita has said this time and again. The warning will remove plausible deniability for Conchita, because it's like, hey, it's a Wednesday. In 8 days, all of your consciences are going to be enlightened. I don't care if you're flying on a plane or you're taking a train. Time will stop. You will see all your sins, and you will have, at least for a short time, knowledge of the wickedness of those acts. Everyone will know. You won't have to. Yeah, you could talk to your wife about it, but you could talk to your neighbor who's not even Catholic about it. You could talk to your secular neighbor to the left, or your Hindu or Jewish neighbor to the right. That's what's remarkable about the promise. And if everyone, this is the connection to both Fatima and Akita, does prayer and penance, then we can avoid that chastisement. Now, there are elements in Garabandal which suggest maybe the chastisement won't be avoided. Maybe there's a conceptual and causal nexus between Russia-Ukrainian conflict and the chastisement itself. That's not much of a stretch. But the point is that we have the Synod, return of communism, Muscovite visit, then the warning on a Wednesday warning, the miracle on a Thursday 8 days later, which somehow has to do with the pines there at Garabandal, Spain. That's really interesting, isn't it? And the stoppage, estoppel of time, and a possible chastisement. And it's really interesting. When you see Pope Francis repeat in, let's say, I'm speculating, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, hey, I want to go to Moscow. Let your ears prick up. Let the hair on the back of your neck stand up. That if he goes, then I'm gonna be ready. I'm going to be ready. So I didn't talk to, I talked to Father Crow frequently, at least by text. I didn't ask him what he thought about this May the 13th thing. Wanted to do a show. Francis, like I say, continues to do his thing. Last week, late in the week, he said that, traditionalism is like an ideological sickness. More and more American archdioceses are now getting rid of the TLM. He seems to be really hateful, really hates people like myself and yourselves, parish orphans and retrogrades, that hate tradition. It's a sickness. He admits it's ideological. He really hates it. Seems to be crippled with hatred, this elderly pontiff. And, pray for him that he can get over his hate. His hate for you, his hate for me, his hate for what makes a Roman Catholic a Roman Catholic. The liturgy is one of the foremost things that makes us Catholic, and he seems to hate that. So I didn't want to do a whole show on that. I'm trying to do less shows that are just purely negative about Francis, because no one needs to ring the alarm anymore. Everyone knows. Francis is either the worst pope we've ever had, or if you look on the bright side, I'm not yet convinced, there's a chance he might not be pope. Garabandal, by the way, suggests that he's not pope. Why? Because Garabandal says three long pontificates remaining, which would be John the 23rd, Paul the 6th. I'm sorry, starting at Paul the 6th, because John the 23rd was pope. Paul the 6th. John Paul II, Benedict 16, with one short pontificate in between. I mean, that's pretty interesting, right? He said this, Conchita said this very publicly in the early 60s. There would be, well, one, I talk about three pontificates, she said, but there's really one in there that's so short, I skip over it. That'd be JP1. That's very interesting. The adequation of prophecy. So If Garibandal's true, by the way, I probably should have said this up front, and I'm not saying it is because I don't know, and I wait for de jure promulgations by the church. I'm into that because I'm a Roman Catholic. And I also err on the side of obedience, even though that's not in my nature. So I, unlike my friend Patrick Coffin, whose Hope is Fuel conference is going to be dynamite on May the 24th, I err on the side of caution. But I've never said that folks like Patrick Coffin, Benedictus Pope, advocates are in some way out of bounds, right? I think as of right now, still, if we're going preponderance of the evidence, I'd have to say, you know, I don't know what it is. His the odds of Pat being right are at best 40-60. He's still not at even odds. And I mean, this is the way to reason about this. I guess that requires that I'm saying at best Garibandal is 40-60, because Francis cannot be Pope if Garibandal is true. That's what people aren't telling you. Okay? That's one of the many implications. It's probably not even the most important one or two, but it's the third or fourth implication of Garibandal. That's why people don't talk about it. It means Paul VI, John Paul II, Benedict XVI are the last popes before the end of the times, meaning not the end times, the end of the times that we currently live in. Who knows what that means? I don't claim to. I do not claim to. Epistemic humility. We preach it often here. So at best it's 40-60 is what I always tell Pat. Probably not even that high, but I don't know. It's still worth doing a show on if it's 35-65. I know you guys are the most truly, veritably, scholarly, open-minded audience out there, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, and I love you. If you want to support this show, make sure you like, leave a comment, but also share. I don't say share. Click the notification bell so you're subscribed to the channel. We're trying to hit 50,000 by the end of this year.
Isn't sharing the true miracle?
Because sharing's the real miracle in watching a Rules for Retrogrades video is in the sharing. I am quoting Pope Francis now. Now, when he says the real miracle lies in the sharing, he is once again blaspheming against our Lord Jesus Christ, insinuating he didn't really do miracles. I think Jesus Christ did real miracles. I'm not talking about the loaves and the fishes. The real miracle of the loaves and the fishes, by the way, was getting tons and tons and tons of loaves and tons of fishes out of just a few. I don't care about the sharing. But when you're watching a Rules for Retrograde video, the real miracle is how informative yet entertaining the show is with no false humility. And then secondly, you guys sharing it with all your friends and family because they need to know. I'm just creating awareness. And that's really the real miracle. Deus Vult, God bless you all.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.